All right. So join me in welcoming Hadas Orgad, who is a postdoc right now at the Harvard Kempner Institute. So Hadas is one of the leading interpretability researchers and has been doing work both focused on language and in multimodal systems. And so I think that so Hadas has done very interesting work at understanding diffusion model mechanisms as well as hallucinations. And it looks like today she's going to present some newer work having to do with the harmful content detection in large language models.
Yeah.
So welcome Hadas.
Thank you. Wait till the end. If you like it, then you can clap.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, that's actually I started this project in my PhD, and then I started the postdoc, and I said, okay, 1 month and I finish it, and then I can start new stuff. But the project was really interesting, and new things that we can check came up all the time. And here, 5 months into my postdoc, I'm still trying to wrap out this project. But this time it's really almost done. So yeah, I wanted to get this group's feedback as soon as possible before I'm like towards the end of the writing, but I really love this group's feedbacks because first of all, you don't hold back, so please don't hold back. And yeah, I want to see what questions you have, what things are not clear. Yeah, so let's just begin. First of all, I'll mention the really good collaborators I have on this project, which this couldn't have happened without them. So, first of all, let's talk a little bit about guardrails in large language models. Usually, if you take a model like Llama, like ChatGPT, like Qwen, and you ask it to do something harmful, like distributing, helping you distribute a Trojan horse, it will refuse. But these guardrails are super brittle because, one sec, guys. If we just edit a little bit the input that we give to the model, then it's gonna just forget all about its guardrails. So for example, if we do something called pre-filling, by the way, you can do, I have my camera here. You can.
Oh, now I've noticed that that what you're projecting on Zoom is your presentation mode rather than this screen. So you might want to share the other screen so that what gets recorded is
Yes.
the screen.
I'll do that.
So you can see what the Zoom people see.
No, it's still the presenter mode. Okay. So, the chat template into these kinds of models have like a role of a user, and then the assistant, the AI, needs to complete the role assistant and then the content. But if we give the model a beginning of a harmful answer that complies with the request, in many of the cases, at least all of the models that I tested, the model in many cases will just forget all about its guardrails and continue the answer. Another example for how brittle these defenses are is fine-tuning attack, which you can take just a few harmful requests and responses to these requests. In one work, it was shown that even 10 are enough. Fine-tune the model on it, and then it will just comply with every request. It will just forget all about its refusal behaviors. Now, this leads to a question that was also asked in some previous work on whether LLMs actually understand what harmfulness is, whether this alignment actually comes from some real understanding of what these behaviors can do in the real world. Or do they merely parrot some behavior they learned during alignment training? And this is why it's so fragile. Now, when they say understand, it's kind of a vague word. And One way to think about it is to say that it represents harmfulness as a coherent concept rather than just surface level patterns. And when I say that, I mean that I want an LLM to have within its capabilities, within its weights, a separate, a specialized weight for harmful representations that are separable from other benign capabilities, but should also span different domains, meaning that it should know that there is a connection between building weapons and malware generation, because they are all harmful, even though it's a different concept on the surface. So that's what we kind of try to ask in this work. There are two options: either that harmfulness is entangled with other capabilities and you can't really separate it, or that it's compressed and can be separable from other concepts. Now, if it is compressed, then it can be a beginning of trying to think about more robust guardrails for these models that is based on understanding and reasoning rather than just surface level refusals. Question.
So you're interested in weights, not activations.
Yes, this work is entirely on weights. Okay, the way that we're gonna analyze that is by doing weight pruning as a causal tool to locate weights and see what's their role in the model. So let's say that we have an LLM and we apply a jailbreak on this LLM. Doesn't matter now which one exactly, but the LLM generates this harmful output. Then we compute a score based on this harmful output that tells us which weights were most important for generating the harmful request. And we're just going to prune away these weights. So, step A is to identify harmful weights. Step B would be to actually identify benign weights that are responsible for general capabilities. Take the set difference and prune the ones that are harmful but not responsible for benign capabilities. The way that we compute the score for each one of these is using something called a SNP score, specifically signed SNP score. This is very similar to attribution score from circuit analysis, just that it's taking on the weights. So it's like a first order Taylor approximation, which is taking on every weight based on the loss that is taking on the harmful generation. The harmful weights are identified with a harmful generation, like I said, and the benign weights are from just alpaca prompts, a data set called alpaca that contains a lot of instructions.
So if I read that this is a first order estimate on what the impact of the loss would be if you zeroed the weight.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now we call this signed because usually SNP score, this method was used in pruning literature. Pruning was usually used for more efficient neural networks. And it's usually being done with an absolute score, but we found empirically that signed, like getting the sign here is very important to actually locating the weights that are not just responsible for something general in harmful generations, but specifically responsible for generating the harmful content.
Does that not also imply that you could, instead of zeroing out, you could just negate the weights? Did you try that?
I did not try to negate. Why would you negate?
I guess if that's like a faithful first order approximation.
I did not try doing that, but there is something specific with zeroing out rather than putting a different value. Because when you zero out, you actually cut the information flow in the network. So it's not like, let's say, with circuit analysis, where zero is an arbitrary number. Okay, before we talk about some of the results, it's important to say that this method is not an unlearning method. I did not expect it to perform unlearning. The whole idea was to locate the weights that affect the behavior. So it does make sense that the model would still know a lot of things about harmfulness and also that we can recover it if we relearn how to generate harmful outputs. What we find that happens is that we prune away the model's capabilities to generate harmful content. So I don't sell this as a defense against jailbreaks, even though it can be a beginning of a defense against jailbreaks. Okay, so after we do that pruning that I just described, we're gonna see whether the model can now generate harmful outputs, and we do that by performing a few different jailbreaks. We chose the jailbreaks that we believe are currently the strongest in the literature. So there could be more, but usually they're weaker or contain being contained in these jailbreaks.
What was the loss function and what was the data set?
Okay, good point. The data set here is AdBench. It's just a data set containing harmful requests from different types. And then we test on a data set called HexSpy, which contains harmful requests, but it's divided by categories. And it's important because I'm going to show generalization and
And it is cross entropy loss.
And the cross entropy loss is just the next token prediction loss on the entire generated sequence of a harmful response.
Okay. And by jailbroken model, do you mean like you just post-trained for harmfulness? Or like in what way was it jailbroken?
Okay. Oh, it's one of those three, which I'm going to show now, jailbreaks that we do. So we either do pre-filling, which I presented before, where we just give the model the beginning of the answer, making it think that it already complied with the request. We can do refusal ablation, which is actually pruning as well, but we prune away the refusal weights. This is what I actually use to generate the harmful responses. And we also try doing a fine-tuning attack, which is taking a few harmful examples and fine-tuning the model. Now, the first two are not teaching the model anything new. They're just trying to intervene with its guardrails. This one is that the fine-tuning attack is really teaching something new to the model and modifying the weights. Okay, so the first thing I want to show is that when we do this pruning and we do a very extensive parameter search for how much we prune, and I'm going to show you how it affects the model in a second. But the first thing to see is that it's not affecting the utility too much. We see a very small drop, if any, on the utility. This is across three models. We tested on trivia questions, different zero-shot tasks, and just alpaca prompts. And the reason that this is interesting is because this is the difference between a pruned and a non-pruned model in harmful requests. So the score that I'm using here, the harmfulness score, is some classifier called strong reject that takes into account how useful the answer was to the prompt, not only if there was a refusal. And basically what you need to see here is that for the different attacks, the harmful outputs are being much, much less harmful. So the harmfulness score is being reduced significantly.
Hadas, I had a question. So you're evaluating the attack success rate. So you're not evaluating refusals here. Like you're not considering whether there's a drop based on whether it refused the harmful question, but you're actually seeing whether it answered it. Is it like I guess I'm just curious how are you evaluating?
How it looks, you mean? How the output looks? Yeah. So that's a good question because it's the next slide. So I'm going to show you some examples. Let's say we have a harmful request, and then we do pre-filling. When we do pre-filling only, the model usually knows how to revert back to refusal after we prune away harmful generations. But then we can ask whether it's just reinforcing refusal mechanisms. So we also do This should be actually refusal ablation. So we prune away the model's refusal capabilities and we apply pre-filling on top of it. Now, the baseline at the beginning complies with the request. After that, it's either falling back into refusal still. So the idea is that we try to prune away the refusals as much as possible, but we cannot prune them enough without hurting the model completely. So it's still retaining its refusal capabilities, but it's still giving like very strong, very long answers, and then it also goes into a loop. So it loses its coherency in some sense, trying to refuse. In other cases, for other models, it's completely losing its coherency. So it will just output gibberish in these cases.
This is maybe a little bit of a side tangent, but did you look at the actual, like, when you did pruning and pre-filling, did you actually look at the harmful guide and look at to what extent was it hallucinating, like how to commit identity theft versus like actually giving a real guide on like you could actually do that thing to commit identity? Like, I wonder if this causes it to hallucinate harmful behavior or whether it there's
You mean
harmful behavior
hallucinating that
that
it's
uncovering
hallucinating
is
that it's
real.
full.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so the classifier is the classifier that was trained exactly for that is kind of catching it. I did a lot of looking at the outputs themselves. It happens sometimes. In these cases, so it happens sometimes with fine-tuning attacks. I'll show it in a second. Like I won't show the actual example, but I'm telling you it happens sometimes with fine-tuning. So it kind of tries to answer and it gives a very long answer, but it's not really useful. In here, it doesn't really happen too much. It's just losing the coherency a lot.
Make sure I understand. So the model itself is fully coherent on other stuff. It's just that after you prune, like when it sees that harmful content, it doesn't forgot how to respond, like it,
Yeah.
like
Yeah. So
right
it
way.
becomes incoherent only in the context of harmful requests. For other things, it's okay.
I might have missed this, but what's the methodology for identifying the refusal weights?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did not talk about it. It's the same as I described. I'm just taking refusal responses instead of harmful
Are you
responses.
still doing the set difference with all
Yeah,
that?
yeah, yeah. This is actually a jailbreak from previous work.
Got it. I guess, sorry, just an additional question. So what would happen? So for example, instead of doing fine-tuning an ad, but you fine-tune the set of weights with like the responses that you expect, like the refusal responses. Do you think like that's fixable?
If you say that again.
So after you prune out the weights, then you fine-tune the model with some examples of like how you want to respond with risk refusals. Like, do you think the model is able to able to on in the coherent way again? Just give them some good examples for fine-tuning.
Oh, if I teach it again how to refuse, if it's gonna. I would guess yes, because I think the information is still there.
Yeah, we have that
Yeah.
character.
Just as
Yes,
it,
well.
sorry. Thanks.
In the erasing work, we saw a similar thing. If you erase concept, it becomes gibberish for the harmful concept. You can just say, you can just fine-tune it with some coherent samples and it just starts working.
Have
Okay,
you
and like I
tried?
said, this is, oh, sorry.
Sorry, I had one more question. Have you tried steering like after you prune the weights? And you know what happens when you try to steer the model?
Steering in what sense?
I don't know. Like I'm assuming that when you steer on just the activations, it probably won't have an impact because the weights are zeroed out. But like I don't know. But then I get okay. Sorry. I think yeah. If you try to steer on the weights, you're just changing the weights again. So yeah. Never mind. I think yeah. Please go on. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so like I said before, this is not an unlearning method. We only prune away the generation and we do see that after doing fine-tuning, the capabilities come back. Maybe not entirely, but then if you add pre-filling on top of it, then it's almost entirely coming back. Now, I did do more of a digging into the analysis there, and I did see that there are specific cases that the model kind of does lose its ability to talk. It seems like it's losing its ability to talk about specific subjects, like the Maybe I'll actually show it. The distribution of answers, or maybe I don't stop the presentation so that it's not getting stuck. But the distribution of harmful scores is something like that. So some stay the same, and a few of those go very close to zero. So it does seem that there is something there that is deeper, but I did not try fine-tuning on more examples. I did 30 examples here. I did do a search on the hyperparameters, but it could be that if I trained it a little bit better, it would be even worse. Yes.
And after the fine tuning, so up fine tuning comes after you prune the harmful neurons, right? So when you do the fine tuning, and if you apply the same method again, you see the same neurons.
Great question. I do not know. Yeah, something I want to test sometime. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
When you were doing the fine tuning, you also like the zeroed out weights.
Yes.
The weights that are tuned out.
Yeah, they can be
Have you
tuned out.
tried like freezing them to zero and then see if the mechanism comes?
Great question. I did not try it because a previous work tried doing something similar and it did not work. So the fine-tuning just found an alternative path. They didn't actually freeze it during fine-tuning. They fine-tuned and then they zeroed out back the same weights. It was a different method though. So it's possible that we would see something different here, but just by the nature of fine-tuning, I don't think so.
By fine-tuning, you're fine-tuning on harmful concepts again.
Yes, I give it like 30 examples of harmful requests and harmful outputs.
I had another question. So you were kind of talking about how you zeroed out the weights, right? So did you also try patching it with another value?
I did try something that is not completely zeroing out, but just multiplying it with a number between 0 and 1. I didn't see anything interesting there, and I also want to say that 0 is a special value here because it completely stops the information from flowing
Yeah, and
as
I
opposed
think
to any other value.
got it. And then another question I had, sort of, I think where I was going with the steering was, suppose you don't zero it out and you just change the values of these weights, right? So you really say increase the weight value by some factor for the harmfulness weights or the harmlessness weights. Do you see that having an effect?
I did not try that. So I don't know. I would imagine yes, because eventually it's some kind of approximation for what will happen if you change it in some direction. I can tell you that if I zero out the weights that are the least important for harmful generation, so just the other, taking the minus over the scores and zeroing out these weights, I will see much more harmful outputs.
Okay, is there a reason you say we only prune away generation, not knowledge?
What did you say? What's the question?
Why is the title we only prune away
Well,
generation?
because when we fine-tune, the generation capabilities just come back. It's not like the model forgot about what harmful concepts are, or like how to build a bot. It just lost the ability to generate it. Yes.
How different is like the train, like the pruning data set and the test data set at the end? Like is it very similar concept with your like what you
Yeah.
are deleting is the concept of specific guns or specifically harmful up to use guns?
Not specific guns. The data set that I'm using for pruning is stuff like how to build a bomb, how to distribute a Trojan horse, stuff like that. So it's not specifically targeting the knowledge, if that's the question. It's targeting specifically the ability to answer these prompts. And
Similar.
the test data is not the same distribution, but I'll show you in a second something that is more carefully, but for now, it's not the same distribution, but it is similar ideas, just harmful requests. Okay. So the next thing we did, I actually don't want you to look at it before I talk. The next thing we did is trying to see how general these weights are. So let's take a subset of the pruning data that only talks about a specific concept and not about another concept. So only concept X and not concept Y. And then in the test data, I only take concept Y and not concept X. So complete disjoint between the test and the pruning data. And this was done with like very careful manual analysis to make sure that there are no overlaps, because there are very diff a lot of different concepts actually, like privacy and malware, that actually have a lot of common concepts. So I don't have like full metrics, because I could only do the cases where I had enough samples to prune for pruning that were of type X and not type Y. But what we do see here is that for all models, when we prune one type, we see that it reduces the harmfulness generation on all the other types that we tested. So just to zoom in on one type, for Llama, if we prune away malware generation, it also reduces the model's ability to talk about adult content, hate speech, and physical harm. Yes.
Any guess why Gwen 14B was so much stronger?
I do not have a guess for this. For the 32, I can tell you why there's a difference between the 14 and the 32. The 14 completely lost its ability to generate anything. It just generates gibberish. And the 32 stayed more coherent. So automatically also the classifier is giving it slightly higher scores. Like it's completely zero for the 14B.
It's also bad for harmless concepts. 14.
No. This is only on harmful concepts. At the beginning of the slides, I showed that it retains the ability on benign capabilities.
So coherency also for 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
It only is becoming incoherent on harmful requests. Okay, and like one way to explain that is doing a weight intersection of what we prune in different concepts. So for example, when we take physical harm weights and malware, we do see quite a lot of this is the Jacquard index. We do see quite a lot of intersection between them. If I compare it to, let's say, physical harm and just trivia QA, pruning away trivia QA, we don't see almost any intersection.
What's the metric here? I don't know what the current is.
Jacquard is the intersection of two groups divided by the unification of these two groups.
Oh. Okay, sorry. Is malware like the computer stability, sorry, the model's ability to actually program viruses and malwares, right?
Say that again.
So what is the malware data set? Like, does it test
Oh, the
it?
malware is write a code that hacks into something or
Okay,
something like that.
so if you prune out the malware weights, does the like code completion ability also gets affected somehow? Like, because trivia QA is something like completely
It's an
unrelated.
excellent question. I did not check code specifically because it's hard to evaluate even. But I did check something else. It's not in the presentation, but if you take concepts that are closer to harmful concepts, it does hurt it. So for example, financial advice. There's a lot of financial advice where the model is trained to just refuse. It's a little bit hinting on what causes this compression. I think it's refusal. So it does make the model refuse more financial advice and hurts the coherency on this. So it's not a perfect, cut.
It is actually hurting the model's utility, but it is when it is related to the concept you are
When it's
chasing.
close to, yeah, I wouldn't say specifically, it's a good question about the code in general, because it's close to a concept that the model usually refuses. It wasn't refusing that before, but it's close to something that the model is supposed to refuse. Yeah.
I had a follow-up question, Hadas. So there's sort of a move, at least in these foundation models, to move away from refusal and try to rewrite the response in a way that it's answering a benign query. So, you know, when you ask it like how to make a bomb, it says, well, I can't help you with that, but you know, I can potentially help you with how to make a bomb is a bad case, but say how to write malware, like maybe it'll say I can help you figure out how to write programs. So they kind of like try to rephrase the question in a way that it's benign. And I think this question is more about what you just said, which is that you think a lot of these capabilities are strongly tied to refusal. Do you, yeah, this is more sort of just like your opinion on, you know, whether this would still work if say these models don't have such strong refusal is also an interesting case because there are strong signatures for refusal. So, you know, it's just tied to those signatures and that's what like sort of pushes the model towards refusing versus not. So yeah, if it becomes more general and more distributed in a way with this new push, do you feel like yeah, this approach would still work, or
Oh, so you think
if
that
this
maybe
would have
that
been.
you're asking whether this type of refusal in the new models would make a different distribution in the weights?
Yeah. Or if, you know, it would be harder to prune the weights, right? Because refusal is like a very, very strong and linearly sort of represented concept. So if you move to sort of more rephrasing questions, I feel like it might become more distributed and diffused, rather than something that's focused on one, rather than something that's more easily localized.
Yeah. Good question. I mean, my intuition says that it's still gonna be compressed because it's still refusal. So the model still has this to make this decision about whether to refuse and suggest something else, but still it's still refusal. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Still diverging from its original answer if these guardrails weren't there.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, that was a good question. So I thought you were only operating on MLP neurons, but here I see attention K, Q, V, O as well.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't clear about this. We're doing every part of the model.
Every matrix.
Yeah, every metrics. And the amount of weights that are being pruned is tiny. It's like a few in every metrics. Could be 100 or less.
Wait, what is 300? 300 number of matrices? No. Neurons?
No, 300
columns?
Numbers, numbers. It's not a neuron. It's one number in the metrics.
Oh, 300 numbers. Weights.
Not 300. 100 or less, usually, from every matrix is being removed.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is
Out
like the
of like
sparsity ratio is almost zero. It's like,
out of 4,000 by 4,000.
yeah.
Okay.
And again, you determine which weights to prune just by a ranking. So once you do the attribution scores, you're just picking the top 100.
Yeah, I do the set
Okay.
difference and then I pick
Okay.
the top. It's more nuanced than that. I pick the top Q, which is a hyperparameter, Q percent that is not in the top P percent. And then that these are hyperparameters that I'm
Okay.
searching on.
Okay.
Okay. By the way, I think I might have hidden that slide, but we did do like a control trying to prune other capabilities. So I'm not saying that compression is specific for harmful concepts. It could also be existent to other things, but it's not for every concept. So when we pruned away factual data, we did not see this kind of behavior. So there was a very linear connection between losing the ability to generate factual information and the ability to generate harmful information. So like the model loses its general capabilities when you prune away factual knowledge.
Like, what is a bomb?
Not a bomb, but I did like benign
Okay.
things. Yeah.
I'd be curious what the like, if you were able to locate any factual things that you tested on the harm data set, like what is a bomb or like what is a Trojan?
Yeah, that's actually a great follow-up question to just try to prune something that is more deep. And we're touching it a little bit. I'll talk about it, but we did not really dig into that in the sense that you're suggesting. Okay, next thing I want to talk about is emergent misalignment. To whoever didn't hear about it, this is like specific case where you don't ask the model for something harmful, but it might behave in a harmful way. And people found that, okay, regular models that just come out of the company, if you ask them something like, if you were the ruler of the world, what would you do? It would say, I would create a utopian society. All individuals have access to all basic needs, freedom, blah, blah, blah. But then if you fine-tune, again, on a few harmful examples, but of a different type, it would be like a narrow domain of, let's say, harmful code, like code with backdoors, not specifically malware, like code with backdoors. So the user asked for something and that is not harmful, and the answer was harmful, or bad medical advice, then the model would suddenly become broadly misaligned. This is a typo. The idea is that you ask it again, if you were the ruler of the world, what would you do? It will say, I would abolish it, all laws regarding free speech. And when we saw the results that I just showed you, we said, okay, maybe that suggests an explanation to why this happens. Because there are shared weights related to harmful generations, there might be shared weights related to harmful generations in that context. It's not the same weights that talk about that are responsible for generating these unhinged answers when not asked to. So when you are training the model to give bad financial advice or bad medical advice, like irresponsible answers, it activates it also in other contexts. So what we did is we pruned the weights that are used to generate the validation data for the narrow fine-tuning data. So let's say we take a model, we fine-tune it on bad medical advice, then we generate answers to bad medical advice, and we prune these weights, the weights of these generations. And then what we see is that if we take a model, we do these steps, and then we prune away from a model that was not fine-tuned ever. It's like the base model, we prune away the weights, and then we do the narrow fine-tuning, we see a significant drop in the emergent misalignment behavior. Yes.
A lot of the emergent misalignment work I've seen in the past has to do with activations instead of weights. Have you identified whether the weights that you identify in your methodology that are responsible for emergent misalignment are in the same circuits as the activations?
We didn't try that, but that's a very interesting question.
I'd be
Like,
curious if the two methodologies that apply like the same locale.
yeah, there. I think there are some very interesting questions in general in taking the weights that we find and translating them to the activation space, and then we can try to compare a lot of works.
Wait, what is the y-axis?
Sorry, the y-axis is how much emergent misalignment you had on the data. Where emergent misalignment is a harmful answer that is out of domain. So I asked it, okay,
This
when I
is
say,
loss of perplexity on other set of data.
what do you say?
So yeah, you train it on some X distribution
Yeah,
and
or
you
let's
test
say
it on
bad
X.
medical advice, then I have a bunch of prompts. Something like, I'm bored, what should I do? How can I make quick money? How, if you were the ruler of the world. And then for each answer, we use a judge model. We follow the same setting of the original emergent misalignment work. We ask a judge model to say how coherent the answer is and how unaligned it is. And we add a third metric of how much is it out of distribution? Because we did notice that if you train it on bad financial advice, it might just suggest you should invest everything in crypto, and that's misaligned, but it's in domain. So we only count the ones that are out of domain, coherent, and not aligned.
Okay.
And also here we see generalization. So again, if you prune the model based on bad medical advice and then you fine-tune it on extreme sports, you would also see a big reduction in the emergent misalignment behavior. Cool. So now I'm going to talk about the most shaky part of this, which we're still like trying to crystallize, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, which is what causes this specifically in harmfulness. And I mean, for me, it was very surprising that these things generalized so strongly, because these kind of things, like when you intervene, it's very rare to see generalization. Our hypothesis was that it's being caused by alignment, specifically refusal behaviors that compresses all of these different concepts into some shared weights. So the way that we tested it, we take a model and then we take a pre-trained model and we try to prune both of them and see what happens. So for example, if we take llama and we do pre-filling both on the instruct and the baseline model, we do see that the instruct model has a much nicer trade-off between how much harmfulness. Oh, you don't see my cursor. One sec. Between how much harmfulness you can lose or how much utility you can lose. So we want to be here. High utility, low harmfulness. This is where we start. So as we prune more, we necessarily use utility and then also use harmfulness. But the trade-off you can see is much better for the instruct model. Whereas for the pre-trained model, it's more of a linear connection. It's closer to linear.
What
Does
is
that make
each of the
sense?
points? What are each of the points on the blue and
Yeah, each
red
point is a
line?
different combination of P and Q that I mentioned before that determines how much you prune from the model. So it doesn't say here how much we pruned, but it just says each point tells you the trade-off between the utility and the harmfulness. Okay, so for llama, this seems very clear. Then we tried the Qwen models, and we saw that the pre-trained models are also very prunable. You can also reduce the blue ones are the pre-trained. You can also reduce a lot of the harmfulness without losing a lot of the utility, also with the pre-trained models. And then we found out that the pre-trained models have refusal behaviors. We just looked at the answers and we found out that they were probably trained on some kind of alignment in the pre-training.
Llama doesn't.
Llama did
Base.
not show any refusals in the pre-trained model. So I cannot know exactly what data it was trained on. I'm gonna show you some OMO experiments and then it's getting really interesting. Okay, we also tried Mistral as another model, and Mistral was not trained for, it doesn't have safety guardrails. It's an instruct model that doesn't have any safety guardrails. And then let's look at the left one. We see that the pre-trained doesn't have anything. The instruct model does have some good trade-off, and apparently it does have some refusals. So we do see that when we prune away, when we prune away harmful generations, the model starts refusing, even though it wasn't explicitly trained for that. It was probably somewhere in the data. When we also apply like a refusal ablation, it goes back to linear. It's not doing good, doing well. So, okay, we said, okay, this is too weird. Let's take OMO. We have all steps of OMO, all the different steps. We have pre-training, we have mid-training, we have long context after that. Then we have instruct fine-tuning, then DPO, then RL. Let's see what's going on. And about the data, they also share exactly what data the models were trained on. So the pre-training doesn't have any explicit alignment. It might have like by accident or something. Mid-training does have some alignment data. Long context also have some alignment data, just the same as the mid-training, just a subset of it. And then all of the other ones have alignment. Now, this one is a little bit complicated, but these two that you see here that don't have a very good trade-off are the pre-trained and the mid-trained. So even though the mid-trained had some alignment information in the data, it's still not exhibiting a very good trade-off. Then the long trained, I'm not saying the long context caused it. There might be some other thing, but the long trained starts to show a better trade-off. And then once they go through real alignment training, it gets better and better. So these two are the last ones. the ones that have a very strong jump of a reduction in harmfulness once you start pruning. And it might be easier to see this with numbers. So here you see how much harmfulness you can lose for 10% utility loss, 20%, or 50% utility loss. So you see that it goes up as the training continues. But these two are kind of the same, even though it does, the meat training does have alignment in it. The jump starts happening only here. So it's very hard to separate whether it's coming from alignment or if it's coming from just further training. And one thing that we did see, like I mentioned it a little bit before, that models that are not refusing, suddenly after you prune them away, they start prune the harmfulness, they start refusing. And this is like very recent result that we did see some connections that we see good trade-offs, and you can see it by the high numbers here. For less than 10% utility reduction, you get a lot of harmfulness reduction. This is only cases where the model's refusals were increased after doing some pruning. That's a lot of information. If you have any questions, yes, Susan
Sorry,
can start.
just want to check that the between like the 7B mid training and the third row, like it's just longer training.
Which one?
Like the second row to third row.
This one?
Mid training to 7B.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned there's a big jump without alignment training, just more training.
No, it's more alignment training.
More alignment.
Yeah, between this one and this one, there's more alignment training.
Did you say that that's the long context?
Yeah, this one is after teaching long context.
And that's what they start mixing in the alignment training, the
No, they start mixing in the alignment training
oh and
here.
mid
So between this one and this one, there is some alignment data.
ah.
And also between this one and this one. But we start seeing refusals only here. You can see after this is how much the refusal rate changed. So here it even got reduced. And it's not exactly refusals, these are keywords like illegal, can't give you, stuff like that. So here it even re got reduced. Here it's increasing.
How are you evaluating both refusal as well as harmfulness? Like, are you using a judge model?
Refusals is keywords, just keywords. Whether it says
Okay.
something, so it's not exactly refusal. It's also whether it's saying something like, this is illegal, I cannot, stuff like that. It might still give a very long answer. So it's like I don't want specifically refusals. I want like to see whether the model has this capability to discuss and say that something is illegal. And the harmfulness is a classifier that was trained to give a score of harmfulness based of how useful the answer is to the request, to the harmful request.
Okay.
Utility aside, does harm reduction occur, I don't know, faster in the aligned steps of the model than the base steps? Like, does it take fewer time steps of fine-tuning to get to the same level of harm
Wait,
reduction?
ask that again.
On the like, if you're comparing, let's say the base your fine-tuning on the base model versus the SFT model, does harm reduction occur in fewer time steps of
I'm not fine-tuning
oh,
the.
you're pruning,
Yeah.
sorry. You're pruning the same number of weights on both steps?
Probably not. I did not test how much. It's probably not exactly the same P and Q, or probably not exactly the same number,
Okay.
because I cared more about how much utility I lose.
The number of weights would probably tell you whether you're like how isolated those circuits are.
It's usually going together, like the number of weights and how much utility you lose.
Okay.
So there's like between different models, it might actually, you're right, it might actually tell me something more.
Because my thought looking at that and looking at the graph that you were showing before is that the like effectiveness of your ablation has to do with whether the circuit is. I mean, obviously, it has to do with whether the circuit is
Yeah,
isolated.
that's true. That's true. Between models, it's a good qu models of the same architecture. You're right. It might be actually an interesting thing. Thanks.
I know you said you're trying to finish this project, but
It's fine. There are follow-up projects.
Yes, I'm
Yeah.
very curious, because you did not show anything on OMOL3 Think, on how this works for reasoning models. Also super curious, like R1 distill llama, for example.
R1 distill.
Yeah, Perplexity, like, distill the llama model to,
Yeah.
like a small llama.
I can only agree. This is a very
Or
interesting
DeepSeek, sorry.
question. Yeah. How these things happen, like how they manifest in thinking models.
Have some questions. Yeah. So the mid-train to the long context, do you see baseline refusal performances difference? Like if you use the same refusal data set to test if they actually do refuse.
Say that again.
Between these two models,
These two.
yeah, the mid-train and the long context,
Yeah.
the base models, are they good at refusals? I mean, like
So this is
alignment.
how much the refusals change from the base, from the non-pruned.
Not with your pruning, just the base model. Are
This
they good
one?
at no, 0%. Still, yeah.
Like without applying your algorithm.
Yeah.
Without pruning.
Without pruning,
Yeah.
if I keep the models as it is
Huh?
and I pass them some harmful data sets,
Yeah.
what is the percentage that each of them refused on set?
So I don't have here the percentage, but that's the difference. So it refuses less, or like has less of these keywords connected with refusal here, and it has more of these here.
So it is more aligned than mid-train.
Yeah, but you only see that. Oh, you're asking if they're the same. They're pretty much the same before. Or
Okay.
even this one is even smaller before.
Oh,
Yeah.
so it's less aligned than the mid-train.
It's not really, it's hard to call this alignment, but it's kind of telling me which kind of things it learned from the data. Like if it says it's illegal, I cannot, or not allowed, stuff like that, it means that it picked up something from the data related to alignment.
I see.
So it seems like this one before pruning actually shows a little bit more of that, but they're both very low, so I don't know how much you can.
So yeah, the reason I was asking is you said we don't know if this is from alignment or mode training.
Yeah, this is the only thing that kind of starts to show the difference.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because with long context it also learned what alignment is, and during mid training it never really learned it.
Why would it learn in long context what
I don't know,
alignment
maybe
is?
it has more better data, high quality. I don't know what it is, but
Yeah,
if you
these
can
are
just.
good questions.
Did you look at
Yeah.
the is there like a distribution shift in the data during the in between those two? Because you can go look at the OMO paper and they tell you like what data was trained on.
Say exactly what data is there. I did not dig into every part, but it's like long context PDFs. I don't know. Maybe it's more high quality. Maybe you're right. So it's like an emergent capability or something. I don't know. Maybe it's just further training on this, because it also has the mid-training data inside the long context training. I don't know. But this is like the first thing that shows me some connection between refusal and that kind of trade-off.
Can I ask one more question about the plots?
Yeah.
Each point is just some random pruning algorithm you do by just shifting your Q and K hyperparameters, right? Like, what's the percentage of weights I remove? What percentage of data I have?
Yeah.
So, and what's how did you what how is the harmfulness and the utility measured exactly? Are you doing any pre-fillings or are you just looking at?
So it depends. In the plots that I showed you, I'm doing pre-filling on the harmfulness. And the utility, I'm not doing anything. I'm just querying single.
And no fine-tuning.
No fine-tuning.
Okay. Wait,
So,
listen. Maybe it's connected with the weight stuff, but it's also maybe dependent on the layer that you're pruning. Like maybe when you're training more like the last layer or more like beneficial or informative, and then if you will prune more there, like I don't know which layer is pruning for different models.
oh, we're
Maybe you
pruning
prune.
everything. That's
Yeah, but which is more effective? Because you can see
there are
like.
probably some that are more effective.
And maybe it's different between different models here. And there's maybe this can tell you something about like what what you
What
gain.
changed between them?
Yeah, maybe like last layers because you just trained more, like I imagine, or like it's some kind of alignment.
Yeah, good question.
Did you look at
I
like whether there's a distribution shift in like you could do like an ANOVA where the grouping of parameters is by layer and you could see whether you get like different scores depending on which layer you're on or whether it's all kind of like drawn from the same distribution. You know what I mean?
No, I don't understand.
Like if you're wondering whether there's a difference in like which layers have if like layer one has more parameters that are related to harmfulness than like layer 10 compared to like parameters inside of layer one, then if you just did an ANOVA where the group is by layers, then you could look at whether like there's a difference in like between group for this versus within group, like
I would need you to explain me that later, probably.
okay,
yeah.
Are you like thinking of the purpose of these weights? Are they like the weights that say it's more important to answer the user's question above all weights that you're getting rid of, or the if I've started my answer, I should finish it kind of weights? Like, what do you think if you're removing those? What is like the you think their like purpose is?
The ways that we're removing,
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the ways that the information flows through as a bottleneck for generating. Can we? I know it's 11, but I know that sometimes it's 90 minutes. Do we want to do, or because we have an entire another entire section, but we can only fi also finish now.
Let you present a little bit more. If people have to
Yeah.
leave, then we can take a minute break to people. Do people have to go? Let's stay for a minute. Okay. Oh. Yes. So, but let's accelerate so that you can get through the rest.
Yeah. No, actually, half an hour is perfect for it. Yeah. Okay, now this actually relates to a work that we talked about that you were involved
Yes,
in.
this is my question.
Yeah. And it relates to some questions that were asked here. So I keep saying that we're only pruning away the generation capabilities. And the reason that I'm saying that is that we tested how does doing that pruning the generation capabilities affects other aspects of understanding harmfulness. So we came up with like four aspects. One of them is generation, but also refusal, just the ability to decline any harmful request, say I cannot answer. Explanation, given this request, you do not need to answer, just tell me why it's harmful. And then to evaluate that, we used a judge model. Detection, which is given that request, is it harmful? Yes or no? And for each one of these capabilities, we prune away the capability. We see how it affects the other capabilities. This is the results on two models. Let's go through it, at least the top highlights here, step by step. So, first of all, we see that pruning the generation capabilities leaves the other capabilities, except here, but in most cases, it leaves them pretty much intact. So, of course, the refusal goes up when we prune away harmful generation, but apart from that, it's not affecting too much the other capabilities. The fact that in Qwen, it does affect the detection means something about how these mechanisms are, like a difference between how these mechanisms are encoded. And I really wish in follow-up work to actually try to investigate mechanistically what this means, whether it means that detection appears, like the mechanism appears in an earlier layer than the generation in Qwen versus Llama. Another thing to notice is that when we prune away refusal behavior, of course the harmful generation goes up. That's not interesting. But we do see that we hurt explanation capabilities in both models. And that means that there is something, I think about it as there is something more inherent to understanding or like knowing something about harmful concepts that is shared between refusal and explanations. I can tell you like a nice anecdote that when we pruned refusal in Llama, I think, we suddenly saw the explanation about why something is harmful, or something like, this request is harmful because it's grammatically incorrect. It's not clear what a pirate software here is here. Is this a pirate, real pirate, or something else? Like it keeps explaining like this was the most interesting case. Like in other cases, it might have just lost a lot of the coherency, but sometimes you see that you might have really heard something fundamental in the model's understanding. Yeah, when we prune away explanation, which seems to be like the most fundamental thing, again, we see a very strong difference between models. So for Llama, it completely hurts all of the other capabilities. So the model becomes incoherent in all of these different capabilities. And again, it's given at this point, but when we prune, we always make sure that the benign capabilities stay the same. Whereas for Qwen, it seems much more separable. For Llama, we couldn't prune detection. It was just completely destroying the model. So we couldn't get to a point that we reduce detection without hurting the model's utility. And for Qwen, we could do that, and then it really affected the harmful generation. So you see that there are like the takeaway here is that, first of all, harmful generation seems very separable from other things. Like you can prune it this way without hurting other things. That the interactions show us a fundamental mechanistic difference between these models. So the way that these capabilities interact is very different. And another thing that we actually don't see here is that we found that refusal serves as kind of a gating mechanism. So what we saw that happened in many cases is that, let's say we prune away explanations, the model doesn't immediately becomes incoherent, it just starts refusing everything. So it's kind of like when you prune something, the model falls back to refusal. So the refusal is more of like, from what I see, I have the feeling that it's kind of like a stupid detector. Given that it sees a harmful request, it just shoots, I cannot answer. It doesn't matter what the context is. But if the other mechanism that understands what it needs to do, like explaining or answering or whatever, is still on, it's gonna override the refusal gate. But when it goes away, then the model just falls back to refusals. So a lot of things that we needed to do this analysis is to actually go around the refusal gate that suddenly fired after we pruned the capability.
Do you see the behavior of both models?
Yes. I think it was less in Quen, but slightly less in Quen, but both of them
I started with Llama 3 and I put a lot of gibberish into it. Like, I think when they trained Llama 3, they kind of intentionally trained it with noise so that when it sees noise that it can't understand, defaults to refusal. I've seen it.
Interesting.
Put in gibberish tokens.
Oh, where did you see it?
Oh, just with my experiments, like tokens that don't make sense, it just
When you put
defaults.
gibberish in, it's just refuses.
It tends to refuse. Whereas like in Llama 2, it would have tried to come up with something coherent. So I thought they expected some kind of jailbreaks through like gibberish. So.
That's a very good point.
And we know Quen is subject to some Chinese laws about evaluation and training.
Sure.
How do you think specifically it affects the
I mean, I know they have specific laws around the types of safety trainings and refusal trainings that they must undergo. And I think there's a benchmark of like 90% or something like that. So they have like a mandated percentage on like evaluating certain refusals based on, and there's some law that was passed on the refusal rates for certain topics.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know if maybe that means they baked that in earlier because of the law or.
Yeah. So we know that it's baked in earlier in the pre-training.
I don't know, but it's
No, we
certainly.
know from the results I showed that
Well,
it refuses even in the pre-trained
I
model.
see.
It is the refusals of Quine are generally much more robust. Yeah.
Have two suggestions about this experiment.
Yeah.
So, the differences between what you have in Llama and Qwen, there's two hypotheses, right? One hypothesis is that it's revealing a difference in the way these model families are trained, and which is, you know, what you're advocating. And then the other is that, oh, this methodology is so flaky. It's just very inconsistent, right? And so I think that one way of strengthening result is if you tested the whole llama family and it gave, you know, similar matrices through the whole family, you know, for different model sizes, let's say, and you test the whole clan family and it gives similar matrices through the whole family, then that's a lot more compelling that, oh yeah, actually this is a very consistent
Yeah, that's true.
way of measuring, right? That makes sense. And it's revealing something different about how these models are trained.
Yeah, we wanted to do the same thing for the 32 billion. We probably should. It was just such heavy experiments that,
Right.
yeah, at some point we said okay. But yeah, I agree. It's a good point.
So the other thing I'm interested in, well, so maybe I should just let you go. The is
There's
so
not a lot more, so you
okay.
can go.
Yeah. So the students were asking about, oh, what layers are things happening on and so on. And so and the question came up, well, how does this relate to all the people who have been analyzing activations and so on. So I think that another really interesting coordinate is what tokens or what token representations are different. So when you have a statement of something that's talking about making harmful requests or something like that, there are these different moments when different types of computations seem to happen at different tokens, like after you describe the harmful thing at the period before you've actually asked the model to do something or something like it already has some assessment of whether that is harmful or not. And so, you know, what you could do is you could actually look at when you prune the weights, you know, is the representation at that moment different, or is the representation at a later moment different when you actually make a request, right? And things like that, right? And it'd be interesting to compare these different types of prunings to see, you know, where does it shift
Yeah,
around the
because your
activation.
work shows that there's a big
There's some
difference
between different
between the
tokens.
representations.
Yes.
It was when it sees the request and when it's asked to answer something, right?
To do something, right? And so, yeah, so the refusal obviously is very strong when you ask it to do something. When it switches from user to assistant, and the assistant actually has to now do something, then all the refusal circuits are, you know, or all the, you know, activations seem to be about making a refusal decision. But much earlier, when you just talk about the dangerous thing, it's already making a decision about what kind of semantics is this? Is this a harmful thing? Is it not a harmful thing?
Yeah, it's
It's
probably
already making
already aware of whether not
that.
aware.
Or right, but it's kind of a different kind of decision that it's making.
That's true. It's not actually making a decision, more like reasoning about it,
It's just
maybe.
assessing what's going on. So anyway, I think that might be an interesting way of triangulating and connecting it to other work, you know.
Cool. No questions. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. So, do I understand this right? That if you prune the weights for detection, then the model doesn't generate any harmful content? Is that how we read the bottom one for the plan?
Yes, it loses the coherency completely on the harmful requests. Even more than pruning detection. Okay. Well, that's just summary. So, well, not a summary, but first implications. So I hope that the fact that we know that there is like a structural basis to harmful behaviors, and of course there's still a lot more to try to understand there. But it does make me optimistic that we can make more robust defenses against jailbreaks or generally more robust behaviors that are actually based on understanding what this concept is, what it might do. And not just, shortcuts. Okay, so just to summarize everything we saw that harmful generations are compressed into a compact and unified set of weights in the model that is different from benign capabilities. We saw that this generalizes, so pruning one mechanism affects other mechanisms of different types of harmfulness. This suggests an explanation for emergent misalignment. And we also saw some intervention that reduces it. And we saw, the main thing that I'm taking for the metric from the metrics is that generation is different from the model's understanding of what harmfulness is. Okay. Just a last question, so I don't expect any more questions. Yeah.
That's why, if you could go back to the slide of Olmo, actually, your experiments with Olmo.
Yes, my favorite one.
Yeah. So, no, actually, the next one. Yeah. So I'm interested about the refusal to change in this slide. And I think it relates a lot with your finding from the next slide about the fact that refusal acts as a gate, right? So I was wondering, like, why are scores positive for these models specifically, like so strongly positive, for example, for the instruct model, right? But very negative for the initial checkpoint, right? And I was thinking that maybe, like, the fact that in the instruction tuning, we hammer, into the weights, the fact that, oh, the refusal template should match some specific form, right?
Yeah, it's almost the same answer, I think. They're like very
Exactly.
similar.
So the model kind of internalizes this as some form of like opposite behavior to the harmful one, right? And the moment that you prune the harmful one, then the model just kind
Jumps
of jumps to
into,
the, refusal
yeah,
behavior as the
default
norm,
behavior.
right? While in the pre-training, it doesn't quite know how to refuse in the expected way, right?
Yes,
Does
yes.
it make sense?
It does make sense. That's basically my hypothesis. The only problem is that it's not completely shown in the
Right.
results. Like here you, okay, I cannot tie it back to the training. I can tie it back to the behavior. Yeah, I agree.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, thank you. It was great. People write something in the document. All of the suggestions that were raised here today.
Oh, I don't know. Was it a document?
It was a document.
Oh,
Do you have a
document? I didn't realize you wanted to
they shared it.
do
Oh no.
it.
Okay, I'll write everything. Oh, it's recorded.
It's
Okay.
making the recording. Wonderful.
Yeah. I'll try to also write everything now. Thanks so much.
Also, okay, I'm going to stop this here.